This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, it is 7:13. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila. And up next, our new weekly segment, Mind Your Business, where we take you through some of the major headlines that impact businesses. So here are the things we're talking about today. So first, the food crisis caused by the war between Russia and Ukraine and how this is impacting existing business models. Then we're going to discuss promoting digital entrepreneurship amongst Malaysian youth and how transitioning to the endemic stage is impacting our businesses. And joining us now to get into them is Shariz Al-Sharani, an entrepreneur with experience in technology, digital economy, and sustainable agriculture. We'd like to hear from you. Have you been buying or eating out more since we moved to the endemic stage? Do weigh in. You can call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Sharizal, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Sharmila. Thank you for having me.
So let's start with the food crisis. How have the rising prices of food impacted what people are purchasing and eating?
Oh, that's a very, very timely question, Sharmila. You know, as you may already know, we've been having, we've been experiencing escalating prices of our food, right? And this was already prior to the war. And now that the war is happening, it's now taking is choking the supply chain on many food inputs like grain, and it's forcing many other food prices to go further up. And what's interesting is we are totally at the mercy of these foreign events, and there's very little that we could do to solve it in the shortest time.
So how has this impacted businesses, particularly since most of us are still, as you said, recovering from the economic impact of the pandemic as well?
So I think restaurants have, I think you can already see it. Restaurants have put up prices, roti canai has gone up, you know, char kway teow has gone up. And that's because the raw materials are fully imported, Sharmila. We don't have enough. We don't produce grain in terms of trying to unless it's rice, rice flour. So businesses have to adjust, and consumers have to we're paying the price. We're facing the brunt of it.
And what business opportunities might there be that could be sustainable while also taking into account the current economic climate?
And as entrepreneurs should be. In every calamity, there's always opportunity. And this in lies, you know, entrepreneurs can then think of new ways of using inputs that's available in our country and diversifying our nutrition. You know, we could look at expanding rice flour as the major input for our food products, or even diversifying other types of carbohydrates, our roots. Ubi kayu, who before used to be a staple food during the Japanese war, it's now something very expensive because it's now become a romantic dish for the elites. And there are many other types of traditional food that we've forgotten or have now resorted to grow in the wild, which we can bring back into our commercial ecosystem and provide a very delectable and nutritious choices to consumers.
How can that be encouraged? From a policy level, how can we encourage people to, as it were, eat local, promote local food or produce rather?
I think we need to look at this overall, right? Everybody has a role to play. Government and politicians need to look at the policy level. We have climate change to deal with. And apart from a very high food import bill, climate change is going to change the way food is being produced because the weather is going to get hotter. So many crops will be able to sort of survive in this more challenging climate. So we need to look at crops that are more resilient today. We also need to look at how do we reduce our food manufacturing carbon footprint. how do we produce closer to market? So technologies like urban farming, community farming within urban spaces, we need to encourage, but we also need to encourage communities to also look at participating in this community-driven programs. And we need to encourage consumers to buy these products. So there's a whole suite of things that we need to do to actually incentivize this movement.
Now, moving on to the next topic on our agenda for today, which is the recent MOU between UiTM and Lazada to promote digital entrepreneurship among Malaysian youth. What caught your attention about this?
This is great, right? Trying to get the attention of young people to get on board in a very exciting ecosystem, digital ecosystem, and to get them disciplined into being entrepreneurs within the digital space. Mind you, a lot of entrepreneurs today are still operating in the gray markets. So structured programs like this will inspire young people to quickly get themselves organized, get a company, get themselves plugged in into big ecosystems and make money in a very fun way, I think.
Is there a hunger for that among the young people that you've spoken to?
Absolutely. I think one of the key things that's missing is exposure to the second and third tier IPTA, IPTS. As you can see, a lot of these programs happen in very elite urban educational settings. If we were able to go further inwards, I think we'll start to get more and more people onto this digital economy bandwagon and get more people inspired to be part of this digital economy, Shamila.
And what are some of the main aspects to focus on when it comes to promoting digital entrepreneurship, particularly among young people?
I think number one, we need to, financial literacy is number one. We need to make sure that everyone, not just the young, we know how to manage companies. We need to learn some basic accounting. We need to learn discipline with regards to invoicing and keeping records. It is stuff like this that usually, you know, the majority of young entrepreneurs, you know, even senior entrepreneurs fail.
And when it comes to the challenges, what are some of the main roadblocks that SMEs face in making this shift towards digital entrepreneurship?
I think, number one, we need to accept that failure is going to be a norm and we need to get entrepreneurs to not give up. And within the digital space, failures tend to happen just as fast as we can grow big. And number two, we also need to make sure that we get the right kind of support and latch on to existing supports that can help us grow. The government and many other companies have provided all kinds of incentives for you to subsidize or reduce your costs to operate within the digital space. And I think everybody, not just the young entrepreneurs, everyone should take full advantage of this.
Moving on to our third focus for today, we've been in the endemic stage now for 2 weeks, roughly, since the 1st of April. What are you hearing from businesses on the ground?
Well, businesses are picking up. And businesses have stopped looking at daily positive numbers. I guess it's good and bad. But meanwhile, what we need to do is to be mindful of SOPs to make sure that we do remain vigilant with social distancing, masking up, and because we don't need another new variant to disrupt our endemic situation to something that could force us into another lockdown. I think, as a whole, the mood is there's an upswing. People are happy that restaurants are being filled again. I just went to a movie with my wife last night. The cinema was full. And I think, perspective-wise, I think the economy is doing great, but we need to remain vigilant, Jamila.
What are some of the sectors that have seen the strongest bounce back? And in contrast, which are the ones that are still struggling?
I think, as any normal economic indicators, F&B is the first one. we can see traction, and that leads to other things being opening up. What is going to be slow, Shamila, unfortunately, are people who are on daily wages or short-term wages. People who earn in this market will unfortunately be at the brunt of getting into the market not fast enough. And I think what we need to do is to help this particular sector to come quickly to the forefront, so that they too can feel the economic revival.
So if we take into account this current stage that we're in, then what would you like to see in terms of initiatives to help businesses, particularly SMEs, to rebuild?
So I think we need to look at businesses who suffered, right, over the last 2 years. Many of them have not been able to recover. We do know that the government has come up with a suite of easy, low-cost loans. But one of the things that we hear is that many entrepreneurs, when they apply, sometimes they can't get approved. So I think we need to look at different avenues, or maybe more creative avenues, perhaps, you know, within the digital space, looking at crowdfunding to help drive enterprises come out and rise from the ashes.
Sharizal, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you, Shamila.
That was Sharizal Sharani, an entrepreneur with experience in technology, digital economy and sustainable agriculture, weighing in on a few headlines from the past week, from the recent past, really, related to businesses. This has been the first of our weekly series called Mind Your Business. Do share your thoughts with us. Have you been buying or eating out more since we moved to the endemic stage? You can call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.